Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. So glad you're with us here today. And I don't know, maybe the two people that have been with me the longest ever on radio are here today. I think that might be true. Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Dave Stoop. What do you think? Maybe?
I think you guys are probably true.
Well, maybe. I don't know. Maybe John and Henry?
Well, they're on intermittently.
Yes, that's true. We are the longest, most consistent.
However you're supposed to say that word.
Yeah.
Don't know when you start counting because we were on together, you and I, and then the John and Henry came in, and I went to Fuller Seminary to teach,
and then you came back.
And I came back, and Jill was here.
Well, Jill's the one that told me, "Hey, you ought to hear John and Henry on this local radio show," and I did, and then as we acquired Menrith Meyer, I got them on the national show, and the rest is history.
It's been great.
If you want to join us on radio today, 1-800-229-3000. Years ago, let me just see what the copyright is here, Dave, on this book I want to talk about. Many years ago, and the copyright in 1988, which is actually the first year that New Life was in existence, Dave and I wrote a book entitled When Someone You Love Is Someone You Hate. Now, I know that there are many of you, and you are going, where is that book?
But,
because you just cannot believe how much you resent the person that you chose to be with for the rest of your life. It's just phenomenal. Well, let's talk about what it is to do if you find yourself in what we would call a love-hate relationship. Well, number one is you'd sure want to look at your part, right? I mean, can you ever go wrong at looking at your part? Some people will look at their part and they will say, hey, quite frankly, I am who I was when we married. I haven't, changed much and all of that. Maybe I didn't do my homework before we got married, but you really don't shame me because I'm pretty much the same. But the other person that I loved, and now you could even say I'm kind of have some hateful feelings for, well, they went out and had an affair, or they gambled all the money away, or they told me they were successful, but they are in debt by $1 million or whatever. Boy, that's a pretty tough reality. And, I think anybody that's trying to navigate those love-hate waters by themselves, that's foolishness. It's so huge. You really do need to get some help if that's who you are.
Yeah, you can't. You keep trying harder to fix it and to make it work, and everything stays the same. And that's a principle that's always true. You've got to have help to see some of the things that you can't see.
Yeah, and there are genuine instances of folks, they put that best foot forward. And it's not that they're just not the idealized person, but I mean, after the wedding, they're horrific.
Right. You see the best behavior, and then you see all the things that you didn't know were there, right? The other side
I
have
of them. One of my favorite relatives got married to what everybody thought was a great guy. And he wanted to be in the CIA, so he, applies for the CIA. Well, he didn't make it into the CIA because of the multiple affairs in his life.
Oh, wow.
And so all this stuff comes out. He was a total fake and a fraud. That happens. Mm. And that wasn't some kind of quick, let's meet and get married tomorrow. That was a long relationship. All right. If you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Dave Stoop. If you want to join us, it's 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. We're here for 2 hours. Now, we have three brand new life recovery workbooks. You've heard me talk to you about grief. Gift of any amount, I'll send it to you. But we've got two others. One is to go through the Life Recovery Bible and the 12 Steps, working the 12 Steps with this workbook. And it's such a great thing. You can do it in a group or by yourself if you have an eating disorder. You either eat too much or too little. And then the one that so many people need to go through is the workbook on sexual integrity. And, you know, Dave, we decided that the general workbook was so successful, it was the next best-selling thing. We needed to bring these in to really apply to some very specific things. So we did grief, eating disorder, sexual integrity, and next month we have the fourth one available, which is on divorce. And I can guarantee you, if you've gone through a divorce and you work through this workbook, you are going to be in a much better place. But the same for a loss that requires grief, eating disorders, and sexual integrity.
Well, we talk about the 12 steps for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And this
12
is
steps for living, right?
This is one of the outcomes of that, is that we take specifics from traumatic events that we want to deal with and show how the 12 steps relate to dealing with that issue.
That's right. So if you give a gift of any amount, and I'll autograph it for you. I've got a bunch right here in the office. I'll send it to you. Gift of any amount, we'll send you the one on grief. You could order and purchase eating disorders or sexual integrity if you want. Now let's do what we're here to do. Let's go to the phones. Really glad to go to the phones. And how about we talk with Lisa from New York, New York. She listens online, and we're glad that she does. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to New Life Live. How can we help today?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk about my sister and my parents. My sister is in her 40s. She had 19. I guess it starts there. She didn't tell anybody she was pregnant.
What was that?
Wait,
you cut out,
you,
right? Somebody tried to call you there right when you said that. What did you say about her? She what?
She had a baby at 19, but she didn't tell anybody that she was pregnant until she was in labor.
Oh, wow. Nobody could tell?
It was a weird thing. Yeah, nobody could tell.
Nobody wanted to tell.
All of a sudden, kind of. She grew up, had this baby, ended up getting a boyfriend. That boyfriend molested my niece. She ended up staying with this man, went on to have two children with him, and my parents ended up raising her daughter pretty much. Fast forward now, these two kids that she had with that man, they're young adults now. My sister ended up having a relationship with her boyfriend. And they found some very graphic text. And so when that kind of blew up, she just went away for a few days and didn't talk to anybody. And now, so she's back home. She lives with my parents. Her two grown children live with my parents. And I'm trying to push my parents to set some boundaries because she lives there for free and she just kind of, she doesn't work. And I think a lot of it stems from my parents not, I don't know, setting boundaries, but I'm like, what else can I say? I've said it.
Frustrating.
20 years, mm-hmm. I've said it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So the question for us would be what?
How do I push my parents to set boundaries when, I mean, she's been like this for the last 20 years. She's had no boundaries. She's had no rules. She lives there for free. and they're not changing, therefore she's not changing. And then we all as the family just stand there and watch. And now, of course, my niece, who was molested, she's getting triggered by this whole thing because now she's seeing this happen to her sister, you know. So it's just kind of crazy.
Yeah. All right, I'm going
to...
It's a hard thing to watch.
A
little approach here, but I want to hear what Dave and Jill are thinking about this. What do you guys think?
You're setting up a very impossible standard. If they've lived this way for all of their life, it's not going to change very easy. And one of the things I would do is invite them to go with you to Al-Anon meetings. And because that they teach you by example how to untangle yourself from those kinds of dependent relationships, and they've got to somehow internalize the reality of that, Lisa. And until they internalize it, then nothing's going to be any different. They'll fall back into the same old patterns all the time.
Dave, what about your book, Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves? Isn't that the one that talks about family dynamics?
Yeah,
and
that talks
family
about
systems?
The way the family that works as a system. That would be
To understand how these patterns get set up and that they are difficult to break, right? Yeah. And it sounds like, Lisa, you're calling us because you've said everything you know to say to them,
exactly.
And they're not responsive to you. So your parents get something out of this. They may come across as feeling powerless, like they don't know what to do, but it's also of some benefit to them to keep your sister dependent. And it also shows just how, clever your sister is in being able to get, you know, everybody to kind of rally around her, right? And get to do what she wants. So this is all working for her, and at some level it's working for your parents. That's why everything you say, you know, you're asking them to be uncomfortable.
And that's what you got to learn to look at.
So,
and nobody wants to be uncomfortable.
No, and so we wouldn't be doing you a favor if we didn't talk to you a little bit about how to accept this as a situation that just might never, ever change.
Wow, yeah. Because it's such an impact on my children, you know, because they haven't had a relationship, you know. They get my parents on the daily, you know, and my kids don't get that from my parents. You know what I mean?
Right, so you're right.
The dynamic of the grandparent, you know, I don't get my parents every day like she does. Not that I'm an adult, so I don't need them every day. But, you know, it's kind of taken that relationship that should be normal with my parents. And you know, she kind of takes that from me and from my siblings. So it's frustrating.
Yeah, because you can't relate to your parents without relating to her because she's just part of what's always there.
So how old are your kids?
My kids, they range from like young teenagers down to like kindergarten.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Well,
go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say they're going to have to do something too. They're going to have to, at whatever age appropriate information you give, they're going to have to accept that grandma isn't really going to be available to them the way other grandmas are. And because I really, there are these situations, I mean, she's 40 years old. If we were talking about a 24-year-old, I'd go, okay, here's what we need to do. But I think, you know, there are some things you can do. Taking her, see if they'd go to an Al-Anon meeting. Yeah, that'd be so great. Look at codependency. But if not, then you've got a real challenge to accept what they have set up and what benefits them, what makes them feel, it's not healthy, but in the midst of it, they feel good about it.
Well, and a question to you, are they complaining about anything? Or
I mean, I feel like the situation has really, I think it kind of opened their eyes to, well, this isn't good, you know, because of her kind of getting with her daughter's boyfriend, which is just craziness.
Mm. Yeah.
So maybe you could say, maybe you could say the incident with the daughter's boyfriend pretty much has convinced all of us this is a really crummy situation. And I'm wondering if you guys are thinking it's so bad that you might want to look at maybe it needs to change. You know, maybe that
right,
is
like
your inroad.
Looking for the inroads, Lisa, that when they start to question things, to be able to ask them, do you think that all the help that you have been trying to give my sister is helping her? Or has it ever occurred to you that it might be hurting her? That maybe it's doing the opposite of what you think. It's reduced their anxiety, right? Because she's not on the streets. Or she's not in a bad situation. But she's been able to take advantage of the free lodging, and she hasn't done anything positive with it. So how is that helping her?
Right.
See, here's the problem.
That's great.
When you're giving a 40-year-old free lodging, they're not having to pay the price to build character. Building character comes at a cost. So it's not that they're just covering the cost of housing. They're covering the cost of building character. That's what's so sad. And that's how you end up in a relationship with... Oh, it's just so sad. So what you want to do is not be triggered by it and angry all the time about it. You want to come... you want to play like you're a clinical psychologist and you're just trying to do the best you can and you're wondering if they see now what a lot of other people see and really think needs to change.
Right. And so, Lisa, you have to put your resentment aside about it not being fair for your family, because when you go at it from that angle, they're just going to see you as having self-interest and not really caring about your sister. So when they start to have doubts about things, kind of go with them on that. Like, her hooking up with the boyfriend, wow, what does that mean? What does that say? You know, maybe she's a sex addict. Maybe she needs to go to Sex Addicts Anonymous, mom and dad. You know, let's help her. So, you know, kind of go along with them a little bit in the direction of their concern, but that pushes them towards any kind of help.
Plant the seed to get and pray that it sprouts.
Right, so that they think that you're working alongside them to help her, which you are, but you're trying to help her to independence, not to more care by them, right?
Right.
Yeah, totally.
And, and you know, the only thing that you definitely can do in the area of fairness and unfairness, it would be unfair for you to not be speaking truth to your kids about the situation.
Oh, yeah.
So you want to be really honest about what's going on there so that they know the difference between healthy stuff, unhealthy stuff, weird stuff, and not weird stuff.
Right. This is why we say no to you, because we're helping you develop character so that someday you can stand on your own, unlike your aunt, right?
Yeah, right. So then you use it. You say, this is why we don't, you know, you are wanting us to do this for you or that. Well, this is one of the reasons we don't just do everything for you, because we don't want you to be living here at 40.
Right.
We want you to be independent. Okay.
Yeah, I want to go back to what Jill said earlier about that book, Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves. Because if you, the first half of the book is really how families don't work. And some of the tools you can use.
Yeah, I think it would be insightful for her.
And then get into a conversation with your siblings about what the insights you've had, and go from there and see what happens.
Thank you.
And you know, maybe one day there'll be a movie entitled "Lisa Saves Her Family," like Stuart saves his family, but I don't think so. But you know, because everybody's really set into here. All right, I'm going to send you "Take Your Life Back." We'll send "Forgiving Our
parents, forgiving ourselves.
Forgiving our parents, forgiving ourselves. I'll send Jill's book. I'll give you three books. Send Jill's book, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. We'll be back, 1-800-229-3000.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free, 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're with us here today on New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. That was a very long call. We'll go right over here.
But a good one.
Talk with Kathy. Yeah, really good. Kathy, Denver, Colorado, KRKS is the station. Hi, Kathy. Welcome to New Life. How are you?
Hello, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, I'm kind of struggling with something and I need some advice. So thank
okay.
you. It has to do with a widower, my father, who's elderly, and my mom suddenly died after 56 years of marriage. And after knowing a new woman for 5 months, he remarried. And my siblings and I, honestly, were not opposed to him remarrying. We want him to be happy. We didn't want him to be alone. We knew being alone would destroy him.
Mm-hmm.
However,
what's the problem,
his wife,
then?
She doesn't want anything to do with us. And
really?
She has put up a wall and has really, it takes two to tango, I understand, and he has allowed it, and we barely interact anymore, and I feel like I've lost both my parents.
Oh.
Because I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking, and whatever I've read has been about children who reject their parents' new spouse, and, you know, I've gone out of my way to try to be nice to her and make her feel accepted. I don't live in the same town. And when they got married, my dad wouldn't even let me talk to her. I tried to say, can I talk to you on the phone and welcome her? And he wouldn't let me. And he kept coming up with excuses. And he just said, well, just write her a note. And after about a month, I thought, why don't I just go ahead and write the note? It's not worth it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth it. So
okay.
I did, but it hurts. And
yeah.
I don't know what the biblical way of handling it, because my siblings are, you know, we're Christians and we were taught to just be nice and go along with things. And I know it hurts them deeply, but I'm honestly the only one who voices it and tells him. And not always, but when something is egregious and right in my face, when we come out and visit and he won't even spend time with us or my his grandchildren, it's heartbreaking.
Okay. All right, so
wow.
How old is the person that he married?
She's about 15 years younger than he is. So I think, I don't know exactly, I think maybe 65, 76.
And he's how old?
He's 78, 79, how old is he? 78.
Okay, so at that age, though, that's not unusual, that kind of
right.
age difference. And is he just so hurting so much he's afraid you might talk this woman out of being with him? Is that the fear?
My dad is, I don't think so. I think my dad is very, how do I say this, enmeshed in his partner. He was with my mom. And, you know, he was kind of her protector and everything like that. And I think his new wife is very insecure. And actually told my aunt she didn't want to be the number two wife. She didn't want to be seen like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're
thinking, well, 56 years versus 6 months. Well, you're the number two wife, but we've not treated her as such. We've wanted her to be involved in our lives, and she just, she'll come occasionally, but there's a definite wall, and whenever he's with her, he really won't engage. He He won't answer the phone when she's home.
Quick question for you. Quick question for you. What kind of dad was he when you were growing up?
Well, I thought he was the best dad in the world, but
great. That's awesome.
No, he wasn't. It was kind of wasn't true, and I didn't realize it actually until now. My mom filled in a lot of those voids, and she was very hard. We had a difficult relationship, and he kind of allowed the dysfunction to continue, and so I had to make one parent the good one, and so he was the good one, and he did a lot of good things, and
All right, you know, so look, yeah, go ahead, Dave.
One of the things, Kathy, I think this is pretty much the new wife's rules and how things are to be set, and your dad just goes along with it because he's getting the benefit of having somebody take care of him. And it's a tough one to beat because he keeps her away from you and keeps you away from her. And so much is going to change until you as a family will sit down with him and say, we just want to share you. We don't want to control you.
That won't ever happen.
Yeah.
Well, okay,
you hear the music.
Maybe not right now, Kathy.
You hear the music. I'm going to give you a path when we come back. And you're just going to think that's just the most painful thing I've ever heard in my life. But I'm going to give it to you. It might be a way back for you and a way of a more normal kind of relationship. But we'll talk about it and see what Dave and Jill think about it after this break. I'm really glad that you called, and we are so sorry for this. And you know, people get older, they do some things that are pretty tough for us to accept.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of 4 devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And, you know, Renee, I think the big dilemma here is that you've got to do the grief work. You've got to do double grief work. You've got to grieve the dad you never had, which, you know, you're seeing that, yeah, he never was the good dad that you thought he was.
The rose-colored glasses have come off.
Yeah, so you have to do that kind of work. And that is tough work, but it is the work that sets you free from the pain and the agony as you deal with the fact that he really wasn't there for you. He was there for him, and whenever it was convenient, then he would be there for you. The second thing is, I think your only hope here, since, as you said, she's never going to sit down with you, I think your only hope is that you're sending her notes, birthday card, Christmas, anniversary, all input into her has to be positive. And so you have to grieve so that you can literally be positive. so that she's not sensing any kind of negative. Because if you want his attention, you have to get her approval. She's calling the shots. So try to win her over with kindness, gentleness, concern for your father, and absolutely no judgment here. He's limited in what he can do for you, and he's scared, and he finds great comfort, and he's going to do whatever it takes to ensure she's going to stick around. And that's really sad that she's the priority now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's,
and
so,
not you.
So the
but your advice is biblical in terms of loving your enemies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But something else that I think...
I try for all my advice to be biblical, even though it's painfully biblical at times. Yeah.
But what, Kathy, something that you can gain out of this, as you are seeing maybe your dad more clearly, maybe you can also start to see your mom more clearly. Because you said you made her the bad one. Maybe your mom wasn't so bad after all. Mm-hmm. Maybe she was carrying a very heavy load, right? And so it might shed light on that relationship so that you can start to see the good and bad in both of your parents, right? That it's a little more balanced instead of this idealized version of dad that's now breaking down. So that would be a positive growth for you.
How's all that feel to you? Pretty tough, huh?
I see a psychiatrist twice a week, so that's good. It's helpful.
Are you doing therapy with him or
yes,
her?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
Yes, it's talk therapy, yes.
Okay, good.
It's been helpful to see the truth in not so black and white terms, but
yes.
I'll be very honest. I don't want to know this lady. I mean, I'm sorry.
Understandable.
I have tried. In the last year, I've tried so many times to do what you're saying, you know, be kind, be kind, be kind. And it's just constant rejection. And there's a point where you just feel like, I can't keep doing this. I mean, it's just reopens a wound over and over and over again. And, you know, how long do I do it? And I know my dad wants
to
be happy.
Okay. Hearing that you've tried this, you've tried to be kind and stuff, I mean, you can only do whatever you can do. And if you've reached your limit, you don't want to turn mean and ugly, but,
you've
tried the approach of being kind and reaching out to her and she has nothing there for you, then you're right. You just don't continue to do
and
that.
Maybe, but Steve,
away.
But maybe all of you siblings together write a note to your dad and say, we love you so much, we don't understand why we're being rejected. We always saw you as the greatest dad ever. And
my
it really
God.
Hurts.
They won't. They will not talk about it. They pretend everything is okay because that's what Christians are supposed to do. And
really?
No.
I thought Christians were supposed to speak the truth in love.
Hello? Me too. But they don't. The act, it's all about performing. And I've suddenly realized that my whole life I've just performed for him and them because I want them to love me. And suddenly it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
Yeah. That's a painful reality.
Like, Kathy, this is a season of things really kind of reorganizing inside of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a tough season, but there's going to be a lot of growth for you out of it. And I'm glad you're meeting with someone regularly because that's exactly what you need to do.
Yeah, if you'll just stay the course.
I pray for God to help me grow, and then this all happened.
No, I'm sorry.
Careful what you ask for.
I don't want to pray. I don't want you to do this to me now. I mean, it's totally destroyed my faith, even. I'm scared of God. I don't know what he's going to do next. Like, you're going to crush me. I have to grow. And now
But that might also, Kathy, be how you're feeling about your father. You trusted your dad, and now he has so disappointed you. So try not to get God mixed up with your father, right?
Here's the thing. You prayed a prayer about growth that coincided with a very, very painful, development in the life of your a loss of mom, and then this other thing. Okay, so this your prayer doesn't mean that God caused all of this to happen so you could grow.
Right.
Now that's really important that you understand that.
Feel like it's my fault she died.
Well, see, that's what you have to deal with, and that's what I hope that you're talking with a real live Christian counselor about, because you didn't cause this because you wanted to grow.
Yeah,
you wanted to grow, and God might have put that desire in you, knowing what's up ahead. See, and so now you're blaming the one who's saying, boy, do I ever know how hard this is for you? I'm here for you. I've always been here for you. And I want you, first of all, I want you to get through this, and then we'll grow. But I do think we have this ability to have distorted thinking when it comes to God, and we think we could pray, I need to grow, and that God would literally take the life of your mother so you could grow. No. That's just not the way it works. It's being grateful you had a relationship with God, knowing that when the worst happened, you were already poised not to die, not to get worse, but to get better through it. Now, God loves you. Even if you don't trust God, you've lost faith in God, God is always the same. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And He is there for you. He's there for your dad, too, but your dad found another little God to give him the comfort that God wanted to give him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is your dad running from his pain, too.
Yeah. And I don't know that anything we've said is going to help you, but I sure wish that it would, because we know how tough this is on anybody.
Right.
Okay? All right. I'm going to send you... I'm going to send you healing as a choice. That's one thing I want to send you. I'll send you this grief workbook, because you've got some grieving to do, and it really will help you to grieve. And what else you guys think we ought to send her? We're sending everybody three books, because we're not taking many phone calls today.
Boy, these take your life back.
Okay.
Or what?
All right.
I was going to say the one we recommended before, forgiving ourselves, but I don't know.
Yeah,
take your life back would be better.
Yeah. We need to do some forgiving of fathers and forgiving our mothers. So I'm going to send that. All right. It's on its way. Now, 1-800-229-3000 is our phone number. We really want to help you here. You call us. We're going to be in the studio another hour after this one. Boy, is this stuff ever tough. I've never seen so many difficulties in parenting our parents or parenting our adult children. It's hard. And it's like an epidemic of pain out there trying to parent anybody over the age of 6. So we'll help you with that. All right. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. We've got the grief workbook, gift of any amount. When we come back, take another call, talk to Larry Sonnenberg, and we love you. It's a great, great year ahead of you. Good things are happening in this world and some crummy ones. The choice is, what are you going to do, whether it's good or not so good for you? What are we going to do? Grow or shrink? Let's grow together.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio. Larry, talk to us.
Steve,
help us
how you
understand
doing?
What we can do to help this ministry.
Well, right. I always like to lead off saying thank you. I want to still, on the heels of the year-end giving that was really strong and helpful for us. But, you know, after year-end, January comes, and it's as important as December, because we need to start with some strength. And so I want to encourage folks to please make a gift. One-time gift is great. Join Club New Life is great. Giving stock, giving us and leaving us in your estate, there's all kinds of things you can do. But I want to focus on why you want to do this. And it's the life change. It's the thing that happens when people's lives intersect with New Life.
Yep.
And we just had a, I wanted to talk about the marriage workshop and Restore. Those are coming up. They're really important. But we're coming off a New Life Every Man's Battle weekend. And there was one closing thought that a gentleman wrote for us that was really strong. And I just want people to realize what a difference this ministry makes. I only found out about this workshop a week ago. Before that, I'd never heard of New Life Ministries or knew what Every Man's Battle was. Having gone through it now, I can honestly say that this weekend has changed my life forever. And he goes on and says, thank you, New Life Ministries, for changing my life forever by giving my marriage hope and a battle plan to succeed. Coming here has been one of the best choices of my life. There's a couple things about that testimony. One is the life change. That's wonderful. The other thing is he didn't know anything about us. So you might say, why in the world did he come? Well, people say their counselor sent him, their pastor sent him, their brother went, and now they're telling him he ought to go. So word of mouth is a big deal. But don't be shy if you know somebody. One guy wrote, and he said he was really irritated because his wife made the first call. And he said, you should have talked to me. But he ended up coming and said it was the greatest thing that ever happened. So help somebody get here. Tell people about it. And let people know the difference it makes.
And that guy that was angry that his wife called, it is an example of we don't care how a person comes. They can be angry, whatever. They can think, oh, I'm just doing it to get her off my back, whatever. Then it's our job, and we've been doing this for a very long time, to take whatever it is that got them there and then try to get that person to be there for themselves and motivated for a life change and transformation. And that's what we've been doing for a very long time. So when you support us, that's what you're supporting.
Right.
You're supporting somebody coming to an intensive like that with one thing in mind, preservation, whatever. And then you see them leave, and what they really want is they want a whole new life. It's just fantastic to get to be a part of that.
Yeah, so thank you.
So call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I'll send you a copy of the Grief Workbook for Life Recovery. Oh, my goodness. People are ordering this right and left. It's so exciting to see how many people are wanting this book. It really can change your life, but you have to call us. We have no way of knowing that you want it or need it, just off the top of our head. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And then if you want to join us for the next program, 1-800-229-3000. And why don't we go right here to Janet, Arlington, Virginia. Hi, Janet. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
I'm calling because I have a 34-year-old son that has substance abuse problems. And I've reached out to my church for support and to other Christians for prayer. And I'm a little frustrated because everyone, of course, we're praying for him to be delivered from the drugs, to seek help, have the mind to seek help. But then they keep praying for us to be closer together. And that's part of the problem, too. He's very needy and clingy, and I'm tired of it. He's the only child, and he's combative, aggressive with me. I'm single, feel like I don't have a...
Is anybody praying that he would get treatment?
That's why I'm frustrated. I'm like, what is going on? Because, that's why I'm frustrated, because that's really what he needs. He doesn't need to be clinging to his mommy. He needs to grow up. He's 34.
Haven't you taken him to a treatment center for him to get help?
I have done that 3 times in the past. This year and last year, I've had some health crises, and I barely have the energy to get up on my own some days, and But I've taken him 3 times in the past, and he's checked himself out after 3 days. I think the longest he stayed was 5 or 7 days or something like that. And I'm to the point
and the reason,
where there's nothing.
Okay, and the reason you let him stay at your house is what?
Because family members, people at church, you don't want him out there, and you can see what's going on with him better if he's in the house. And I love my son, but I don't like
right.
him. So those are all losing strategies.
Right. And what does he say in terms of his own problem and his lack of maturing? Does he have any?
He just gets angry at me, saying he doesn't want to hear it. And,
okay.
And then he's in denial. Oh, I'm not getting high, you know, but I could tell he is.
Okay, so I want you to listen to Dave give you some really specific direction here, because he can help you.
You need to go, Janet, to Al-Anon, because that's where you find the support that's supportive. Your people are telling you to do the same things that everybody does that never makes a change in a person's life, because they're just enabling the problem to continue. And at Al-Anon, if you go more than once, you got to go find a group that's where they're succeeding at dealing with their kids or their spouse, and get into the process of detaching yourself, finding ways to creatively detach so that he begins to take responsibility for himself and his sobriety. That's the only thing
right.
you do, and it'll give you strength. It'll encourage you, because you'll be learning things that actually work with somebody who's got a substance problem.
Because
right now you're in what we call this drama triangle of, you know, it's rescuer, victim, persecutor. You try to rescue him, then now you're the victim of the church and him, and then now you're unhappy with the church. You're persecuting the church. They're not coming through for you. The only way that you fix it is
step
out.
They tell me that I need to look at my behavior. And I'm like,
well, that's what we just said. Well, no,
but
you're enabling him, see, to continue. You're providing him with a soft landing, and he should know that he can't depend on you. You're buying the drug for him when you provide housing. See, that's you, in a way, purchasing
money.
The drug for him, because now he doesn't have to use money to pay rent. He can use it on the drug. Has no one ever talked to you about that? About how you actually are allowing him to have the resources to purchase the drug? That's what we want to see you never, ever do, because nobody wins when you're doing that. Does that make sense or not? I know it's painful.
Yeah, that does. But it does make sense.
Okay. All right. Well, I wish we had more time. I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible for him, one for you. I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. Al-Anon, that's the place to go tonight and tomorrow night. Until you get it right. We'll be
Thanks
back.
For listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.